Blog Talk Radio.
Shy one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
number 1,437.5. Welcome, as we are going to finish what we attempted to do yesterday on our Hump Day special with an over-the-hump day look at things, courtesy of the chefs and your loving mad scientists here at Soul Tree Radio and the Raw. Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, our special over-the-hump day special edition, brought to you proudly by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how. Right now, www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. As you know, the chefs will be checking in from time to time. As I have my brother Gary Norris Gray riding shotgun with me right now, I need to say this before we continue. Yesterday, where I am, there was a wicked electrical storm that hit about an hour and a half before the show came on. Now, I can't tell you honestly if it affected the switchboard and our getting on the air. We've gotten on the air under even worse circumstances, but I want to say this for the record. We've been on the air since March of 2012, and our goal, just as it always has been with other related shows of the Brother Man Network, to provide you with solid information that you can utilize to understand beyond the who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how stuff. That has been our goal since we started. And ever since we've come online here at Blog Talk Radio, every time it seems like progress has been made, there are system issues that affect the overall production of what we're able to give you guys. I know for a fact this has discouraged at least two sponsors, two, you motherfuckers, from coming on because they couldn't on Blog Talk providing the show the way it's supposed to be provided. We ignored all of that and we just kept plowing through because our goal was to make sure you got the information. And whatever you did with the information, that was on you. But our goal has always been to maintain the highest standards of journalism because we know motherfuckers have come at us and came up empty because we were correct in how we approached all this. We want to make sure that people objectively get a fair shake regarding this. When it's time to get in somebody's ass, we get in it. We've been doing this for a long time, much longer than I've been here on this radio station as Roland Rogers and Black Athlete Sports Network. Since 1999, have endeavored to do this. We've always done is carry the water and continued on. I'll say this always. You will always get the straight dope from us. We will never BS you. We're not looking for clickbait or motherfuckers to become members and whatnot. Yes, we would like the financial support. We try to get it on our own. We want to make sure you understand why we do this. We do this because it's the right fucking thing to do. Not because some other asshole is going to get upset by clickbait or erroneous information. We've never put out erroneous information. When you hear us, you hear it. Just like I say, it's in the raw. And if you don't like that rawness sometimes, well, that's too motherfucking bad. But I tell you this, you're never going to stop us. We will carry on with this, and whatever you have to deal with after that, you deal with that. But we will not deviate from this. Now, having said that, we will get on with what we were going to continue with from last night's show, which was delayed until now. As I stated earlier, riding with me, my main man, my brother Gary Norris Gray. What's up, G?
Let's do it right. Come on.
Has served as the definitive source for information about the Black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique beings, the Black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch BlackAthlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are
BASN. Damn right. Shout out to our friend Kwame Brown. I'm glad you did what you did. We got our own mamas cooking here. We're going to cook tonight as the chefs will be coming in later on. What's on your mind, G?
The esteemed senator from California would like to have 5 minutes of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But they do the Edmonton football team.
We will grant 5 minutes. 5 minutes to the distinguished gentleman from Cali. You have the floor.
The Edmonton Eskimos were founded in 1949. They were Grey Cup champions 14 times. They were a franchise rich in tradition, but because of evolving social sensibilities, the organization elected to eliminate the Inuit-inspired name last July.
To those who were offended by the name, we have heard you and recognize your concerns.
So after a 10-month search and extensive research, the team announced its new name.
With your input, much debate and deliberation, we came to the name that we are proud to present today.
We are... the Edmonton Elks.
So what's in a name? What's in this new name? The Elks.
We checked with the Oxford Dictionary folks. We also checked with a linguistics expert at the U of A. And it is proper, especially in a team name, and it is considered a proper noun. So we chose it for a lot of reasons. We liked how it sounded. Frankly, it's more inclusive than the word elk.
The team sees some significant branding benefits with the name and the logo.
We will wear the antlers on the helmets, no doubt about it. We have a nice system of logos to work with now with our primary logo, our secondary logo, our word mark, what we can do with the antler, which is what you've seen on the helmet, and the refurbished double E.
The Elks will have to tweak a long-standing tradition with the fight song.
We're still in the stages of figuring out exactly how to go about it, what words to change, what words to leave the same, but we will definitely be keeping the fight song.
Ryan King's a native Edmontonian and a retired player. What does he think of the new name?
I know there was a lot of people involved in this name change, and I think they did a really good job of taking their time and doing all the work needed to make sure that it was the perfect fit, and I think they definitely accomplished that.
It's been a long road. We've taken our time to make sure we got it right, and we know we did.
John Sexsmith, Global Sports.
The Edmonton Elks took 16 months. 16 months to get it right. The Washington Football Club will start the season 2021 with the Washington Football Team as its name. This will be 45 years possibly getting Michael, this is an outrage.
It's an outrage, but you know what? Props to the CFL for taking the initiative to do it on their own.
That's right.
My daughter, my middle girl Leah lives there. My son-in-law Russ lives there. My granddaughter Kaylee Alicia lives there. So all this is proper because nobody had to kick them in the ass to say, you know what, let's do this. So my Canadian fam in Alberta, and Kelly's consult mission included. Congratulations. I like the Elks. I like the antlers. I like how it's all connected. They don't have to change their, they don't have to change their logo. You know, it's all in the mix there. It fits. And they didn't have to insult anyone who is of Inuit blood or anything like that. So everybody can get behind the Elks. Although I think it
should
be Elks.
Michael, what this proves to me, I said it a thousand times, Edmonton football team worked with the Native, First Nation Native Americans for his name. The Washington football club refuses to even talk to Native Americans about this. That's the problem.
There's also a big difference between a team that's owned community-wise, and they know they have stakes in this long after any football plan is done, and an arrogant son of a bitch who buys a team as a lark, profits from said team, and then on top of everything else, shows his disdain as he has to be cajoled and poked into making a change that he really does not want to make. But I digress.
And Michael, you know, this crowd Now, I want people to understand this. I want people to really understand this. The Washington Football Club going on its third year of its name. Right. Now what Dan Snyder has done has put all the old Washington R word stuff for sale.
Yeah.
He sells all that stuff and gets away with the old Washington name.
Yep.
Then he turns around and sells the Washington football team stuff for the last 3 years.
He was gonna do this anyway, guys.
But folks, he gets another $1 gazillion for a new name.
This is what he was going to do all along. All they were trying to figure out was how they could best maximize the potential in garnering revenue and how it was going to shake itself out.
Yep.
And it's not nothing to be – and Washington's football team was worth over $5.5 billion, according to Forbes. So we know who they think got over and who's laughing last here. And if you happen to be a fan of this club and you're buying this shit, that says a lot about you, too, and your stupidity. But I digress. Before we go further, I want to carry on to where we were going to go. And shout out to Radio Reggie and Professor Fred, because they were going to take lead on this. But, Gary, it's apropos that you're here because you're the one who first spoke our fears in the throes of COVID last year. You said straight up, somebody dies of COVID, and they're not a professional player, there will be hell to pay.
Yep.
So as far as we know, Quandarius, let me make sure I get his name right, Quandarius Wilburn, died. He was 6'2", 230 pounds. And he said he played defensive end, but you know that's like linebacker size.
Yep.
And he was in a conditioning drill. Now, there's a subplot to this that a lot of folks haven't looked at yet. As I'm speaking right now, at 9:18 Eastern time, it's 84 fucking degrees.
Yep.
Now, I'm saying this because, you know, there's not supposed to be any global warming. But this has been coming off for the last couple of summers. You know when I've done my music shows, every now and then I bring it up. Well, this is no joke because an hour prior to it was 93 degrees. Now, August in the Atlantic area where I'm from normally starts out hot and muggy.
Yep.
But when that time comes, it cools down significantly. We're talking 15, 20-degree temperature drops once the sun goes down. That has not happened. It's important to bring this up because this may well be a connect to why that kid died.
Mm-hmm.
This heat is no joke. And if you're sweltering in it in the mid-80s, after 9 o'clock at night, you know the temperature pattern has changed elsewhere. So we're not all the way north, but we're north enough. And if we lived up where Tony lived up in New Haven, there would be some real concern because it's hotter than a motherfucker. We like that during the day and whatnot, but nighttime temperature is supposed to come down. It has not. And Gary, that has been
really concerned. California. We have the two biggest fires in the history of California right now.
Wow.
In the Bay Area, it's 71 degrees, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you go outside the Bay Area, it's 100 degrees outside the Bay Area. All over.
Oh, shit. And roasting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only August, what, 12th?
Mm-hmm.
this kind of weather does not happen in California until September or October. We're about to have early.
Yeah.
So my question now is, what's it going to be in September or October?
Well, you know what? I don't know if I have the answer for you, but one answer should be that if HBCUs think that they're going to be able to handle this, they better have something else on their mind aside from paying people and getting other things done. Their priorities are severely screwed if they think they can walk through a conditioning session or anything else. Now, I know some schools, they are on point with trying to regulate what activities can be done at certain temperatures. But this is a whole other story. You remember when the Vikings signed Corey Stringer's death warrant when he was working in practice. Now, of course, this summer, Stringer, a big brother, 300-plus, had to deal with the heat. The temperature ate his ass up. And God forbid, he was dead. People have to be mindful of this stuff. They're not going to say out loud what needs to be said at Virginia Union, but I know there's a lot of things that they're walking the line on. And, Gary, when you made that claim that if somebody dies, it's a whole different ball game.
Well, see, now that's the reality we're looking at. NCAA, the CIAA, whatever alphabet soup you want to put in, whatever alphabet soup you want to pronounce, they're in legal jeopardy. What I mean is this. When a kid's 18 years old, he signs a contract to that school. That contract is legally responsible for that kid.
That's true.
Now, if I am a parent of that child, I am suing that school of the year as much as I can. One, because, number one, you know it's 90 degrees out there. You know it's 90 degrees, so why are you out there in the first place?
Yeah.
Number two, do you really need that practice? Can you, there's indoor, what we call indoor practice. Can't you do indoor practice? The divinity raising thing.
Yeah. It's more than just stupidity, Gary. It's selfishness as well. This ain't the fucking Junction Boys 2.0 where you got people sweltering out there under unreal conditions because they're trying to make hay. As I say this, we got the Professor Fred Wittit who's in the mix. Hopefully he can shed some more light on what's going on in Virginia Union. Professor, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but there's not been another article, any real movement as far as news goes in relation to the young man passing away during practice over the week on Sunday.
Brad, my question to you is these schools, how legally responsible are they when they go practice? What is their responsibility?
From a totally legal responsibility, they're liable in a lot of ways. But then it's just like we were saying, I was saying earlier, when it comes to the NCAA, the NCAA has protected itself. Remember we were talking about the young man from Louisville? On national television on a Sunday afternoon. Okay. Realistically, they're responsible monetarily up to, I want to say, well, it used to be like $50,000. Well, you know that you go to an emergency room, you can spend $50,000 in a day.
No shit.
And see, that young man suffered a compound fracture of his leg to the point that the bone penetrated the skin, which tells you that then they had to go in a mode not only to put his leg back together, but to do a lot to fight infections. So, again, $50,000 don't go that far.
No, and that's a workman's compensation situation too, Fred, if you look at it that way.
Well, not exactly.
He got hurt on the job.
No, you because they're students. They're not employees.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know. I think employees because they got a contract.
No. Okay. What contract did they sign? Okay, let's put it this way. How many years have you been hearing this thing they call a four-year, my son and my daughter signed a four-year scholarship to go to whatever school. It doesn't matter, Winston-Salem State, SIU, Virginia State,
right.
Where it don't matter. Except within the last few years, if they sign a four-year scholarship, matter of fact, I have a nephew who signed a it's called a 5-4, which means you got 5 years complete 4 years of your education.
Okay.
And he made it out through, he played football, and he made it out 4 years, so we gave him the remaining year of his scholarship to go to grad school. Okay. That is not actually an academic scholarship. It is a scholarship for...
We get it, Fred.
It's a scholarship for athletes, but it's really an academic scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
It is given. It doesn't count against the, I think, 95 that a school has. That is
okay.
Take it a step further. When you sign, okay, how is it that we always talk about the 4 year scholarship, but we wonder why a kid can be called in and say, "Well, your scholarship will not be renewed next year." Okay, he had a 4 year contract, right? But his scholarship will not be renewed. How if it was done, it was a possibility of not being renewed, that means it was not for 4 years. It was for 1 year, renewable up to 4 years, and with a redshirt year, a 5 year scholarship.
And that's the standard.
This is until about 4 or 5 years ago, one of the Fab Five conferences came up with this, and they actually. We're going to honor, and I want to say it was the SEC or the PAC, whatever it is out of California. But they were saying, we're going to honor the 4 year scholarship. This was part of the ploy to get around this thing. Because, see, remember, a kid that's going to a Division I school to play football and basketball and a couple of other sports really can't work in the summertime. If he's playing baseball, for instance, a kid that plays baseball and then go into the playoffs. The playoffs at Division I level don't even start until mid-May.
Right.
So if you go to the College World Series, you don't get released until around the 4th of July. So how much money are you going to make? How are you going to find a job, first of all? Then how much money are you going to make?
Right.
Because remember,
you got to try to plan this as well.
College students, as a matter of fact, as of yesterday, I think it was, students feel like this. I live 3.5 miles from Federal State, and their students have been checking in all week.
Mm-hmm.
So kids are back in school. They start classes Monday. So even if he gets free the week before the 4th of July, that's when he only gets to work 6 weeks, max.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he's coming, and if he's...
What is the temperature down where you are right now?
90 something.
See? And then, and it's almost 10 o'clock for you down there. Is this something you've known has been changing over the last couple of years? Or is that time of year where you usually expect temperatures like this?
I tell all my friends who come from other places, you know, like up north, out west. Think about it. I grew up working in weather like this.
You got to speak up, it Fred. There's some distraction in the background.
There's a radio or TV going on in the background.
Not here.
Ultimately, Fred, are you afraid that this will lead to a situation that will severely injure Virginia Union's future as an institution of learning?
It could possibly do something. It amazes me that it hasn't been reported to this, because I was going to a routine work 2 days ago, 3 days ago. There was some reference to connecting to his family and all this kind of thing. Who they were. See, haven't gone to the roof until we are giving 10 to 12, maybe 15 to 20.
We can't hear you.
Muffling you. Tony, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, it's going in and out, but I can hear you. Can you hear me, guys? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, so no, and it's not where you are. It's not you, Fred, but there's definitely interference going on here, and I feel why that interference is going on. So please, I want to come back to you. Yeah. So it's definitely
just call
in the
back.
Line. Yeah, call back. Thank you. Let's see if it goes away. Unbelievable. Well, I can still hear the sound. Now I don't hear it as much. Tony, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you guys fine.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
So you're okay, but yeah, I was definitely hearing stuff when Fred was trying to speak. Well, look, this is what has been going on since 2012. Every time we make our point and get some footing, somebody wants to sideline us. So I'm not even going to be sensitive about that. That's true. And it's bullshit that they're doing what they're doing. But, Tony, you've worked at an HBCU school. You know this is some serious shit.
Yeah, it's that, you know, this was something that we all feared could possibly happen. I mean, Reggie has been basically saying it from day one. Now, it hasn't come out yet what this player passed away from, but your first inclination is going to be COVID related. I mean, I know it's been hot as Hades for the last 3-4 days, at least in the eastern part of the South. I know It's 91 here still. And
it's 91 where you are?
I'm not just I have first of all,
right,
I'll check my phone again. But they're saying 91.
Oh my god.
Well, but again, you know, August is usually the hottest month. So I mean, I'm not trying to be blasé about it, but it's just, you know, August is notoriously.
It's hot for us too, but it normally cools down at night.
Yeah, well, we haven't. Now, some parts, it's weird to see. Some parts of New York was getting rain.
Right.
Now, we got a little bit. It was mm-hmm. the clouds were in and out today, but it didn't rain. But it's those summer, it's like those summer rains where it's raining, but it really doesn't do anything because this winds up being, because, you know, we're dealing with the 3/8 right now, hazy, hot, and humid.
Mm-hmm.
And I can deal with the hot. I'm not crazy about it. But when it's hot and hazy and humid, that's the thing. We've had, I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's it. The humidity is what sucks the juice out of you. That's where
it
wears your body out because your body's trying to maintain itself to keep itself temperate and cool, but conditions don't allow for that. Fred, can you hear us okay?
That's how y'all do up north. We have 4 H's out here because, you know, in addition to hazy, hot, and humid, we also have hail. So, I mean, that's just how it goes. Mike, you know, I understand where you all are coming from overall, I understand where you all are coming from and that sort of thing. And, you know, they haven't released a cause of death as far as I know. But see, the kind of stuff that we're dealing with here across the board, we're dealing with, because the one thing is, okay, well, you know, black folks are not getting vaccinated for COVID. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And all the and then this whole thing with the heat. Okay, remember the young man that was playing with the Detroit Lions a few years back who died of heat stroke?
You're talking about Corey Springer with the Vikings.
Okay, with the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you got to look at when you get to operating in heat like this, that is certain things you do and certain things you don't do. And see, everybody want to push everybody to go that extra lap, that extra, you know, that take them extra steps and all that kind of stuff. How, you know, what does your core look like? You know, if you think like me, you don't need to be going no extra steps and that extra mile, all that bull crap. You need to go sit down and drink you some water. And see, in trying to build team unity and all that other bull crap that goes along with that, you're extending people's mind further than their body can go.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate. But then there's another side to that, and that is, what is this young man's health like overall? Because I know they do these physicals when they come in. I mean, they spend a whole day doing, you know, individual physicals and that kind of thing. Okay, they do the best they can. But see, if there's been some things that have been overlooked throughout his life, which I've been involved in a situation where, this person's situation was missed as a child. It was missed as a teenager. It was missed by the military. And when it blew up, it made it look like, you know, it looked like, you know, he was always neglected. No.
Yeah.
Certain things that can go wrong with your heart and other parts of your body.
That's true.
If you don't go in and dig in for that particular thing,
you're right.
And you never you never know until such time.
This is true, but see, what they're not saying is how the conditions affect everything. Now, you're saying down there it's 100 where you are right now, or at least damn sure close to it. So if it's like that at this time of night, you know, in a state like Virginia, which is further below where we are in the Atlantic and warmer, that field picks up at least 15 to 20 degrees more. So you're not working at 90 degrees. You're working at 110.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing.
And I'm only assuming they're on the artificial turf.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes they practice on it, sometimes they don't.
Right.
Because, you know, because see, Hubby Field was just covered, I think, about a year, I think about a year ago, or maybe this past year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was part of the program that Willie Lanier was involved in. I think
right.
that's where they initiated it, as a matter of fact. Reggie could tell you better than I can, because that's where he
okay.
lives. But, you know, mm-hmm. but what, my point is simply this. There's a standard that these schools use via the NCAA and other medical things
yep.
that, you know, that go along with it. And that's
yep.
what they usually go by. And
yep.
usually when you find these instances like this, like I say, you know, sometimes certain things just happen. We had a young man who got his neck broke on in practice on a routine, a quote, routine play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A little over a year later, that same young man was going to the hospital to sit with a young man from Virginia Union, of all places, to
mm-hmm.
reassure him because on a, quote, routine play during a game,
yeah.
he broke his neck.
Damn.
And, you know, there's only, you know, like, let's say, you know, I don't know what was done, but I don't know, in some of these cases, I don't know what can be done either. Because, I mean, they just, I mean, and see, also, you know, and see, when you look at, you know, looking at it across the board, to some degree, you're dealing with that same situation, not just in Virginia, because, like, you know, Virginia Union is in Richmond. Virginia
right.
State is right down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if VCU has football or not, but I know there's about five schools in the five colleges in the
yeah.
Richmond
mm-hmm.
area that play football. Not to mention,
right.
high school has already started.
True.
So they play in 2 weeks.
Yeah. All that considered, is it your fear that we're going to find out that this young man perished due to COVID, either directly or indirectly?
I would doubt it because I would imagine that the COVID protocol was already exercised. Now, if he made
okay.
contact with somebody after the fact, and see that's
mm-hmm.
one of the things that keeps popping up. And see, at a lot of schools, you know, like some schools have it where they have athletic dorms, but then there are
right.
other schools where they, matter of fact, I was an athlete. My roommate, the roommates I had, only one,
mm-hmm.
he was only the temporary, but only one of my, I only had one roommate that was ever an athlete.
Yeah.
One of my roommates was in the band. My first roommate,
mm-hmm.
well, he was just a student.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
I know, because it's like you had football dorm.
Well, see, a lot of the big, see, see a lot of the bigger schools, I mean, they have a section of rooms that are allotted for football
for
and other, but you know, matter of fact, at Duke, the basketball team lives in an apartment complex. They don't They don't live in the dorm.
Yeah. But Tony, if we're looking at this bottom line, we know the mouse will say some shit. And every time an HBCU has been involved in something that has been deleterious to them overall, they come in with both feet. How do you think they're going to project something like this, and how will this affect the HBCU?
Well, if they do acknowledge it, they're going to be like there's going to be normal procedure for them. They're already late in regard
mm-hmm.
to this. So the only way that if they were to report it would be second, third, fourth hand. But see, they knowing their modus operandi, they probably would ignore something like this on the bigger scale.
Yeah,
the thing is. This is where we, as black journalists, this is where we were able to shine, because we'll be able to take a better look at it anyway, because they're going to look at it with a jaunt. They're going to look at it with a jaunted eye. They're not going to look at it and try to.
No, they're going to look at it like we shouldn't have to be here. No way.
Exactly.
This is beneath us.
And see, again, we can't be surprised at how the way they react. I mean, let's put it this way. Whether they react or don't react is, to me, is immaterial. I'm not trying to, make whatever. I think the most important thing here is how we report it. I mean, really, fuck them. I could care less. Because however they do whatever, it's going to be as predictable as an S.D. Jones wrestling match. The most important thing is to see how, look, something like this, you want to go to the Richmond Dispatch, I guess it is, maybe Newport News, and then on national level, you see what HBCU game day is, you see what Luton is, by the... We will get the information from them, and we don't, a lot of times, I get it when we want to go after them, but a lot of times, fuck them. I mean, I just fuck them in a story like this.
Yeah. I'm making the point that there's been white noise being sent to us from 15 minutes in after Gary finished, from the time we contacted Fred. You motherfuckers have a problem with the fact that we're putting this information out there too damn bad. So we'll work through the white noise, but I just want you motherfuckers to know you ain't going to beat us. So having said that, Virginia Union knows ultimately if this becomes a wrongful death situation, it will definitely affect other HBCUs. As much as we love HBCUs, what they stand for, and everything else, they will have no legal leg to stand on if they don't resolve this. Now, it's been word out that apparently the young man had heart problems, which may lead to something else. So I would think that smoke-filled room where the administration and the legal department is trying to hash over things, it ain't a pleasant place right now.
No. No, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Look, it is very unfortunate. And, I don't want to do the, thoughts and prayers thing, because to me that sort of, that sort of trivializes it to a certain extent. But the thing is, I hope that the school doesn't turn. I just hope that they don't get too bureaucratic with this and just try to sort of dismiss this or whatever. If all the COVID protocols were followed, and if whether it's something else, then it needs to be investigated. I just hope that they don't get a bunker mentality. And basically anyone that tries to get information as to what happened, that they look at this as way. You don't want them to play this like Nixon's White House during Watergate. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Well, with everything else that's going on, they've tried to carry on with football business in many of the schools. We said that there would be escalations and things would be thrown into the mix, and Brigham Young really threw a wrench into things with a statement regarding kids who come in looking to make the team and making it. If I understand this right, Tony, they've already confirmed that anyone who makes the team,
It's more so strictly the walk-ons. It's strictly the walk-ons. And what they're basically doing is they're going to be under that NIL sort of thing, which probably makes a lot of sense, because in a sense it may get more people to come out for football. I mean, I gather, for schooling, for like big schools like BYU, there's going to be a bunch of, all the Division I schools are always going to get a certain amount of walk-ons, you know. So,
yeah.
And I think, in a sense, they're trying to cover themselves by, you know, including them in this NIL thing. And it makes sense because, look, it's not going away. It's not going away. It's probably something that some of these other schools try to get a hold on as well, because again, anything that can help build up the program, because we've seen we see those stories where walk-ons, you know, go from being walk-ons to getting a scholarship. So let's put it this way: if nothing else, it's a decent incentive. And again, they didn't give a dollar. They didn't give a dollar value, but I mean, again, it's not like the, you know.
It's hard to argue against those dollars.
Yeah, and see, the thing that I am hating in this is that a lot of the knee jerk reaction is that these kids, you won't keep them in the classroom. You weren't trying to keep them in the classroom in the first damn place. So it's not like because there's extra money out there now, all of a sudden kids are just going to stop going to school. That's been going on for years. It's nothing, it's always funny how when certain things like this come out where there's the immediate overreaction of as to the folks who it's going to help.
I would agree. That's right. Fred, let's put it this way. If you were a walk-on, Fred, as a Ram, and you made the squad, and they said, welcome, we got you covered now for the rest of your career in this school, how much is that worth?
First of all, you're talking about a Division II school.
Right.
Okay, they only got 36 scholarships for football.
I know.
And because of that, they will probably have... I think we need some cost. And I'll give you the number, $12,000 as a round figure for what it costs to go there now.
Okay.
I won't mention the $801 that I paid for semester my last year.
Right.
Anyway, when you look at, one second. When you take the time to look at.
Thank you. That's better.
36 scholarships spread between, 75, 80 guys? You got to remember, a lot of guys leave Division II schools owing money.
Mm-hmm.
They give them loan packages and all that kind of stuff. They don't get money. You see, that's where, you know, they talk about, should they be paid? Should they shouldn't be paid? Okay, my thing to them is get a life and learn what the rules really are. Because you can go to an NAIA school and get more money in some cases than you would go to a Division II school.
Yeah.
And see, unless your school, like when I went to Winston, we have these things called rental scholarships. Those were for... Rental scholars were among the brightest, were some of the brightest men and women on the campus.
Right.
Okay? It was sponsored by R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, which they still do, actually, because it was in a Dallas scholarship, so you didn't have to worry about running out of money, all that kind of stuff. About 7 or 8 guys on the football team were rental scholars. Most of them didn't graduate because we had a coach that was an asshole. But then we had 2 or 3 on the basketball team that were rental scholars. We had by this time, the only girls that had scholarships my first 2 years there were rental scholars.
Okay.
Because there were no girl scholarships.
Okay.
None. Nada. Don't even ask. But if you were a rental scholar, you could always go. You could always decide you want to play, whatever. And mostly tennis. Or we didn't have any track people. But see, to say that they're going to cover them, now they can cover you through their insurance. But right. What they likely do, because I know I was at, what was it, Pebble State, when they were, they, one of the questions that was asked at some schools, because a parent asked me about it, and I said, mm-hmm. well, you know, the rules have changed significantly since, you know, as I told them, since I'm about old enough to be your parent, and that's how long mm-hmm. it's been since I was, you know, walking through the line and getting the physical and stuff. I said, you know, with wrestling, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't totally realize what wrestling was like, where you mm-hmm. practice in a hot room. Although yeah. it might be snowing outside, you're inside, it's 89, 90, 100 degrees. Mm-hmm. And see, all this stuff about, you know, covering, I know in the last few years, it's almost a necessity for parents to show proof of insurance.
Right. If we got to go down that road, then I'm assuming everybody that a star player, regardless what level, is going to get a higher level of insurance underwritten by Lloyd's of London or something to that effect to guarantee that somehow if something happens to them, they're going to be compensated. Now, they did this with certain players before
okay.
NIL
and Mike,
came in.
Yeah. Mike, let me tell you something about that whole thing. Schools are not allowed to get you a Lloyd's of London. You have to buy that yourself.
Whoa. Uh-huh. So how do they underwrite it behind closed doors? Because we know guys have had insurance policies.
Yeah, sure they do. You mm-hmm. It's not against it. The NCAA cannot disallow. They can't disallow you the opportunity to buy insurance to cover
right.
your potential earnings. You know, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. But what happens mm-hmm. is the NCAA can't participate in it. Or should
okay.
I say the school itself cannot participate in it. Because,
okay.
you know, it's because, see, I've known people over the years who bought insurance on their child.
Mm-hmm.
And because, as a matter of fact, one of the kids that was at Pebble State some years ago,
mm-hmm.
his parents were—I can't say they were really rich, but they were financially sound people, and they
right.
knew how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot, when he got his knee hurt, they got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I've known another parent. I know another parent here whose child was covered during their senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually went on to play in the NBA after, I think it was 3 years of college.
Mm-hmm. I want everybody to
but now that, you know,
this.
Like,
I know the kid for Clemson last year did have some sort of, I don't know if it was with Lloyd's of London, but he had some sort of insurance thing because, you know, everyone, you know, looked at him as being the possible first pick of the draft. So again, it's part of the haves and have nots. But see, a lot of that, if you're, let's put it this way, I guess it just shows how much of an investment you're going to put in your child, because if you're smart thinking in it, you're going to be fine. Because see, I always go back to the kid in Louisville. Now, the sad
mm-hmm.
thing is, if it hadn't happened on national TV, he would have been ass out in a sense. Now, I guess they had some sort of apparently they had something in the works there. But the thing is,
Tony, there's basic insurance. They
yeah,
have that
exactly.
But see, if you're not careful, by the time the trainer does what he knows how to do, your insurance is gone. And see,
sure.
Okay, let's look at that same instance, the same young man. Okay,
mm-hmm.
how long did he stay at Louisville after he got hurt?
I think he was gone within the year. About a year. I think he was gone within a year.
He was gone. He was gone before the next season started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was
quote mutually agreed that he would be better off in another program.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to Georgia State, which is I think outside of Atlanta or somewhere down there.
Mm-hmm.
And at any rate, he wasn't part of the red and white, which means he got to miss part of whoever was coaching them then that was doing something illegal. He didn't get a chance to be a part of that.
Well,
Rick.
But you don't blame that on Rick
because Rick was just doing what was allowed.
No,
oh, sure.
True.
The system is all wrong.
There was a lot of stuff going on in Louisville. Remember, the whole situation came out about who was getting sexual favors, and Sister Gal had a notebook, and all this other stuff was coming out. And in the midst of all of this, this kid gets hurt. And that's why I bring up workman's compensation, because if you're a, quote, employee, there has to be a definition as to what pertains to you that goes beyond basic insurance, because you weren't doing basic work. You were doing work for the school. And I think this is another reason why those kids in Northwestern, I think it was Northwestern, tried to form a student union for
stuff like this. It was Northwestern.
Okay, and they got basically shot down because it was buried.
But see, Mike, here's the deal. Okay, I was interviewed earlier this afternoon about some of this stuff, and I said, you know, the thing you got to look at with the NCAA rules you eligible or ineligible. So you toe the line, and because we've had discussions about several instances of things that if the school, like, you know, okay, Joe Pa didn't know what was going on in his own program. No matter how risky or how crazy it got, he never knew what was going on. Okay, now, it was like, I compare that to the time when Dean Smith didn't know when a 6'11", 245-pound kid was not going to graduate. Now, in North Carolina, we require 16 credits. He had 11 and was taking 3. And you can only take one in high school, in summer school. So how he going to graduate? But Dean Smith, the man who knows which shoe he puts on first on a regular basis, what kind of socks he likes, elbow pads, all that other bunk. But he don't know his boy ain't going to graduate. Come on.
That's true. And see, when you get into
this whole thing about if his, you know, this is workman's comp, this is workman's comp situation.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the NCAA does not look upon these as students.
That's right. Who have to play.
They still have those 1950. They still have those 1950 values.
Yep. But they can't.
Yeah, including the racial side, but we won't go there.
It's across the board. And see, the thing to me, not to go too far off on the thing here, the fact that the NCAA has been somewhat quiet in this really bothers me, because I really think that they're sitting at home plotting, trying to find, I think a lot of them are going to be like, okay, this is going to blow up in their faces, so we're just going to sit back and wait. But I think because...
Tony, they're not sitting back and waiting. Mack Brown on the interview, I want to say last Monday or Tuesday, one afternoon last week, they showed Mack Brown talking about, you know, when all the players are in, they're going through preseason practice, all this kind of stuff. And he goes, we're looking forward to working with that. By the way, we have put together a system that will allow us to work with them to make sure that the kids, you know, don't get caught up in something that will rule them ineligible. That's why I keep saying, remember, it's the NCAA that says they are eligible.
Eligible. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And see, because of that, okay, how many times have we seen guys say we were taking this kind of class and that kind of class, and they're going to come, well, that class don't count. Well, how can it not count? It's a class at this school. Now, it was like Carolina when their players were getting grades and didn't know where the class was. That's different. Mm-hmm. But it's still anything that removes the control of the powers that be, that thing, that entity stands at risk to the rules and regulations of whatever that sport is, because
no question.
You know, when you look, when you go back and look, we just went to the Olympics. Now, did you all know that it was illegal for whatever team that was to wear shorts? They were supposed to wear bikini bottoms.
The volleyball team. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That was a big thing about it.
One was a volleyball team, and the other one was gymnastics or something. There was about three teams because in one case, this some star singer or whatever says, "Oh, no problem. It's like $1,500. Yeah, it's $1,500. I'll cover it for them."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pink. The singer Pink did it.
That's what I was talking about earlier. You know, you always have to remember who is it that sets the regulation and says what's right and what's wrong. And see, the deal with the NCAA is this. They know from the day you show up, okay,
mm-hmm.
I think football players reported last, we'll just say last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, so your first practice is Monday morning, dark 30. They know that in for a football player, in 3.5 years, his ass is out of here.
That's
because he gonna play. Because realistically, his season, his last season is over late November.
Yep.
Even if he goes to the national championship early December, mid December. His season, his career is over.
He's
out of here.
That's right.
Now, if he hasn't done his due diligence in the classroom, screw him or her.
Hmm.
If I got a niece that's a volleyball player for Temple, right? And we got into this discussion, and I told her, I said, because you have an attached scholarship that tells not bragging because she's my nephew's big baby, but she is the smartest thing on the team. But because you see, when he went to Duke, he got the same kind of scholarship. She's on a scholarship that is attached to athletics.
Right.
But then it is not a regular scholarship for athletes. And she has gone back and pulled up the paperwork and all this kind of stuff and goes, I never imagined.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we got a nephew that's going to likely go to college and play in basketball. Now, I've already told him he should go. He lives in Charlotte. Told him he should go talk to the coaches over at Johnson C. Smith. I said, either the men's or women's coaches. They know his father and son. Just tell them I said come over there and talk to them. And they'll fill you in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he starts the ninth grade this year, so he's not recruitable yet.
But this whole business,
although there are people dropping dimes on him.
Yeah, but this whole business now with everybody trying to capitalize on NIL. That move that Brigham Young made it clear that people are thinking differently, because you saw in the last couple of years has seen some influxes of brothers coming in and doing demos. And you had Jordan Love there, Utah State, the kid who's playing backup now for Jackson and Baltimore. He's had some flashes. He's from Utah. I think they're seeing the doctors and sensitives, and they're using that to get the deal done.
Well, look. The schools are gonna have to. They're gonna, the whole the old school thinking has to change. Unless you can modernize it to your advantage, you're gonna have to, you know, now there's gonna be some of the schools are gonna take to it and be like, okay, we can look and let's use it to our advantage, so to speak. And also, you know, like Fred was saying, the main thing, you know, if nothing else, I would hope that there are more people who are on the lines of what Mac Brown is doing, in the sense of,
yes,
we still want to make it so that you're eligible, because,
mm-hmm,
we just saw what happened down in Baylor. Now that's a whole other kettle of fish, because we had a sex scandal and everything else. But let's put it this way. If these schools weren't dotting their I's and crossing their T's before, I would think, if nothing else, now they almost better. I mean, you see, they better have it now, because I think since the NCAA is slowly losing some of its power, they're going to be,
mm-hmm,
even more vicious when it comes to the when it comes to the punishments.
Yes, I would think so. Gary, you've been in a mid-major, and you're a proud graduate of a mid-major school. Does Southern Illinois have an endowment where they've got X amount of cash stashed so that if say that they wanted to be aggressive and develop their football program, they could do it?
I don't know, but I do know back in 1985,
you consider SIU a rich school, as in they had a huge financial
total?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tony, I know you're up there where Yale is, and you know they probably reek of endowments. But overall,
yeah, there's a couple of them.
Are,
yeah, there's a couple of them.
Yeah. Overall, in the area where you are, would you say that they're cash heavy, so that if they wanted to be aggressive in going forward with a sports team program, could they do it?
Oh, yeah, they could. The entire Ivy League could. But see, I think I had mentioned this to you before. When the late Bart Giamatti was president of Yale years ago, after they were sort of at the peak of their, when they had won a couple of Ivy League titles and finished the year ranked in the top 25, then the 1AA poll, he was speaking, I believe, at an Ivy League convention or what have you, and he was stressing the need to de-emphasize sports. Now,
yes,
it's weird that it came from him, because this guy, you know, he was depicted as this guy that would wax poetic about baseball and all this other crap. I always felt it was off a phony facade, but phony facades in the Ivy League sort of will go hand in hand with my man Louis Jordan, beans and cornbread. They go hand in hand. But yeah, it can be done. And I, over the last few years, the Ivy League has stepped it up. You know, they have their own network where, you know, it's all online, where all their major sports can be seen online for free, you know, for their games. The visibility has always been there. But I think, again, there's always been sort of an inbred arrogance. But to their credit, when COVID hit, they were one of the first ones that basically said, no, absolutely not. And remember, they didn't even do the spring football. Okay. They didn't even do spring football. They took, you know,
Well, see, Tony, the advantage that a lot of these Ivy League schools have that are not, that very few HBCUs even can even imagine, not to mention, for, you know, making a reality. And that
some
is,
dead relative will drop $1 million or drop a gazillion bucks on them at any time and any place.
Some living relatives will do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and see, because I remember a few years ago, something came out about Harvard, and Harvard, Yale, and a couple of other Ivy League schools, they got, you know, it's like they got more money than the United States, and they not
exactly.
in debt.
Exactly.
And I remember doing some research on endowments for HBCUs, and there may be four that even come close to $500 million. FO. That's like FOER.
FOFO.
You know, Hampton, Howard, Morehouse, and Spelman are among the richest.
Wow, I thought Fisk would have been in there too.
Oh, no. My,
really?
You said that. I have a cousin who's going to Fisk. He left a few days ago. But Fisk has bounced back. But, see, Fisk has basically, I think they have maybe four or five sports. They don't have football. They got basketball, men and women, track, men and women, cross country, and I think softball and baseball. Remember a few years ago, Fisk, until Cosby put in that money, some years ago, Fisk was on the verge of closing.
Gary, say it with me. M O N E Y.
That's right.
The same reason why Rutgers the same. I know. Hey, people forget. Remember, Louisville was an original member of the Missouri Valley College. Look. The same reason. The same reason why Rutgers and Maryland are in the Big Ten. The same reason why Texas and Oklahoma are going to go to SEC.
All they're doing is firming up their footprint.
That's all.
If anything,
the folks at the MEAC should talk to the Missouri Valley Conference and say, how'd y'all do it?
Yep.
That's right.
What the Missouri Valley did was,
the Missouri Valley Conference is basically old school because there's very few schools in there that on a geographical sense that aren't there strictly just to be there. All of them maybe 100 mile radius between all the schools, possibly.
Yeah.
A little bit more because now you got always North Dakota going North Dakota.
But even that is still not, you know, put it this way. It's not like the old conference that UConn was in where they had Wichita State, Houston, DePaul, The University of Guelph, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, A&T, you know, stuff like that.
All of that. Exactly. First
because back then all this noise about distance between schools was pure baloney.
That's right. Of a male cow kind.
And you know you got to talk about distance. Okay. Remember, because like we were talking about the whole academic thing behind these schools that HBCUs need to play up better. And my first contention was okay, the ACC schools must not teach geography because they're all over or you know within 100 miles you got. You got the Big Four. You got Wake Forest. You got Duke. You got Carolina, and you got NC State. Within really like 60 or 70 miles. Yeah, mm-hmm. But you got
Syracuse.
Boston College. No. Okay, you got Boston College on the top of I-95, and on the other end of I-95, you got Miami.
Miami. Yep.
Now, you can't hardly fly that in a day. So forget trying to do the bus thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because to them the distance makes no don't matter. And we won't mention that Atlantic Coast Conference school. Think about it. You got that Atlantic Coast Conference school that's located west of the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like and everybody knows the fight song.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Robert
E. Lee would be shocked looking at the ACC map right now.
I'm telling you, that's right.
That's right. Because remember, Gettysburg, he turned around.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Like Bugs Bunny when Yosemite Sam I tried to shoot him at the Macy Dixon line.
They touched Yankee soil. That's right. Well, touching Yankee soil right now is
Patrick Drop.
They're trying to hang. What's going on now? All that's part of what's going on now. Patrick, can you hear us?
Live and living color, fellas. Great to hear from you.
How are you, sir?
We are on the horns of a dilemma here. I know you know about what happened down at Virginia Union. I'd like your take on it. What do you think the school is trying to handle? The family's trying to handle, and how the legal stuff of all this is coming out.
Well, they're doing the best they can because, you know, as terrible as it is, it could happen in the school if not handled correctly. So I just, you know, send my condolences to the family of what happened. You know, it can happen to high schools. I think it's already happened to high schools already that you have to watch out for, particularly during this time of year. And there are ways to do that. It's not the ways that we did when we played football, and where they wouldn't lie and have water when you were thirsty. Or those days are over. You have to be careful about how you do things, and that's why you have trainers who are held responsible, particularly in my area, if something like this happened, because you have to watch them. They give kids water breaks every 10 minutes, you know. They're told if you're not feel well, stop. So we're only smart. So I don't know what happened there, but anything can happen. I just feel sorry for the family. That's all.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
If we see, I they can't bury this. You know, somebody's got to say
they're
something.
Not gonna bury
what do you think they're going to have to say?
I don't think they'll bury it. I don't think I'm being Pollyanna when I say it. I don't think they'll bury it. See, right now, there's still, you know, look, there's still just the shock of this happening. And then you have to react. See, now Fred, I could be wrong. Kids aren't in school yet, am I correct?
Excuse me?
The kids aren't in school yet, right?
They're coming in, they're not there already.
Yeah, I'm saying like it's not, you know, but it's not like a regular like the regular school year
no.
Yeah. So
no.
That
most classes what? Start next week.
Oh,
also,
okay.
Some,
so yeah.
Some school in this area started today.
Okay.
Most schools.
I know it's staggered. I know it's staggered, but the point I was basically trying to make is that the fact that the whole campus isn't on there right now, because that would be, to me, that would be just another added factor to it. I think the fact that there's only basically like the team and a few other maybe officials or what have you are there, that could be to their advantage. Like I said, I hope for their sake that they don't, you know, let's put it this way. I'm gonna stay positive in this and just be like, you know, they'll get this done right, and
yeah.
hopefully the kid's family doesn't do. I mean, it's bad enough that they have to bury one of their own. That's enough of a just having to go through that is going to be just enough of a traumatic thing.
That's where I was going. If it had been because of COVID, I think it would have been a whole lot different.
Exactly.
We've seen this before in terms of preseason training, exhaustion. Other kids might have physical problems around hearts or some other ailment. We've seen this. But if it were COVID, the publicity would be out of the roof.
Exactly. Let's put it this way. My biggest fear is, if I should happen to see Benjamin Crump come down there, I'd get worried. I'd be a little worried.
You know that's true. That's true.
Yeah,
and
I hate to say that, but
the thing they're not saying is that this affects every HBCU. Because
absolutely.
We know every time somebody in mainstream media says something about an HBCU, it has not been positive. They try to run Savannah State to the ground when that situation came up. They don't want to do anything when gambling has an issue with the buses. They don't want to say anything positive. They wait for the opportunity to pounce on them. And they treat them like the way birds of prey treat mice. They just wait for the opportunity to just go in, flick in there, eat their ass up, and fly away. They don't care. And the ATQs, every conference that's available, don't understand really what this is saying, that what happens is the Virginia Union affects them too. Then they're going to all end up something, and they're all going to end up suffering and ending up victims to their own fate because they won't care.
Mm-hmm.
And they know the mainstream media will do everything they can to maximize the family.
Well, I will say this. There's validity with what you're saying to a great degree for some networks, even the networks that we attach to, that we have issues with. But on the other hand, sometimes they come up with something good, which is far bit and in between, but they do. One of the stories, the hot stories out now, is J.R. Smith, born in North Carolina,
I saw that.
To become a gun and a student. I think it's a tremendous story. Knowing J.R. from Jersey, J.R., as a matter of fact, they couldn't find J.R.'s grades in high school. They probably lost him forever. But the brother got two NBA championships. He's had a life that's been pretty interesting for 12 years. But it was some people down in the Dominican with some players who just went down to the Dominican Republic and said, "Man, you need to take your ass back to school." And he said, "You know something? I'm right. I'm right." And because he has kids getting ready to go to school. and he said he's there to finish. But he's going to play, try to become eligible with the golf team. And really, he can because of the fact that, NCAA, you can be a sport, a pro in other sports besides that. So hopefully it works out. It's brought some good news to the.
So Patrick, the automatic question is, what's his handicap? Passing the ball or
wait. That's what he said. He said he's the in golf, you know, you got to worry about yourself. He said, I don't know about passing the ball, nobody would try.
Oh, shit.
I think the fact that he wants to go back to school is good because he realizes, you know, there's something else out there besides, because I know a little about with JR's background. I've seen him out sometimes, you know, at one time. The last time I saw this, I was covering a WNBA game when the Liberty was for 2 years playing in Newark while they fixed the garden. And he came into the game across the press row, and he had a couple of honeys chasing around, you know, back him like they were little kids. But this nigga had his jeans down with his drawers showing. I'm going, what are you trying to prove? What? You know, but you know, everybody goes through those phases. It wasn't like that today. You realize that's the case. So, but I want to. I got something for Fred and you, Tony. I was doing some research, and I came across this some information about some broadcasting in the. In the South, man, I thought it was real interesting. This brother, I guess you know who he is, Chris, named Desmond Johnson. He has a radio communication, a radio company. He'll be doing all North Carolina AT's radio broadcasts. His name is Bernard Robinson. He's from, I guess, Scribner. It was Kendallville, North Carolina.
That sounds familiar. I've heard of him.
And the reason I'm interested is because North Carolina will be playing Marmon University up there in New Jersey. So I'm trying to figure out what happened. So I'm going to see if I can get something involved with that game, but I can get something on air about it.
Today's the 12th? 2 weeks from now, they're going to be playing.
It's on and popping. Popping. No, I can see him now. The reason why it's going to be interesting to me is because the school that when they play Monmouth, a private university, school that has been from the years I've been back to Jersey from '85. My first one down there to do some old cable company. This is a big place, but ain't nothing happening. I went down about 7 years ago. I'm going, is this the same university? Because that place looks like, talk about a metamorphosis. Lord, looks like a
What conference are they in?
They're the Northeastern Conference, if I remember right.
Northeast, okay, the NEC, okay.
Long Island University and stuff like that. Yeah, they're in the Northeastern
Conference.
Mike has named something else, so I forgot what it was. It's Long Island University is not in there. I think maybe the Big South is in now, something like that. But I know.
That's where A&T is going, the Big South. So yeah. That must be what the conference is.
If I can footnote regarding the young man from Virginia Union, I believe their first game was against Hampton in September. So I don't know what the mindset's going to be for them to prepare. But forgive me, I have to say this. We've been getting white noise for the past almost hour and a half. And Block Talk is aware of this. I've made messages to them. I've talked to them about this. All I can simply say is you motherfuckers should be ashamed of yourselves. And I ain't paying this fucking month because of what the crap you're doing right now. It's got nothing to do with revolution or anything like that. It's straight journalism, and you motherfuckers can't handle that. And that you would result to this is just serious punk shit. Forgive me. Forgive my profanity for this, but this is true.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, having said that, one last thing,
company down North Carolina is called Tobacco Road Sports. So,
Tobacco Road Sports.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
Definitely, hey, look, they need to, you know, this, I hope this winds up being a boon for, A&T.
And the guy, I went to the guy's interview, and he said, we got to tell our own story. He said, we want to own a sports network.
I've heard that somewhere before. I forget why I heard it.
Let me ask you the question I asked Fred, because you went to Ohio State. If a kid walks on and makes the squad, how much is that worth in terms of scholarship?
Pretty. I'm one who was going to do that. I was set to do that with the blessing of Woody. And my dad died on that day. Now it's I don't know what you. You know what? I don't know what you wish for now.
It's
I'd say anywhere from in state it's about 85, out of state it's about 130.
Wow.
In that area. Yeah. Because
that's a big
I know this much. There's a young lady in Jersey City that was running track who got accepted to Ohio State and she wanted to go. But they were gonna give her they were gonna give 15,000, but she had to come up with $35,000.
Ow!
Ouch is right.
That's about 2 years ago. And she wanted getting a football scholarship where? At Monmouth University.
Gentlemen, I wanna bring up the big money. And when I mean that, I mean the first college game where a huge cash is going to be at stake. Tony, I think we're talking about this, and I think you said Clemson and Georgia is going to be the first time the big money comes into effect.
That first weekend, there are a bunch of non-conference games, but that one's going to be, I believe it's going to be on a Monday night. I'm guessing either ABC or the Mouse or one of the four letter networks. It's under the title of the Chick-fil-A the Chick-fil-A Classic, not to be confused with the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Or the Chick-fil-A sandwich, apparently, but that's a whole other story in and of itself. But another one that's going to be played, I believe, in Georgia. The University of Tuscaloosa takes on the University of Coral Gables, Florida, which of course is Alabama versus Miami.
Which is going to be a blowout?
Probably. That's what I mean. Like, if this was say another generation, then game would clearly be. But Miami, Miami. This way, it's better than it was, but it ain't what it is.
Okay.
And they're pushing the kid. King, who is a great decent quarterback, they're pushing him in the spotlight to be spectacular, and he can be, but you can only be spectacular for so long if you got college kids playing against pros.
Pretty much. You know, one of those guys that'll have to take a pay cut when he goes to the NFL. You know how that goes.
They do. And literally take a pay cut. Here's what we should have, guys. They're going to, somebody's going to, sure as I'm sitting there, matter of fact, I know they are. They're going to chronicle, because it has to be handed in, the listing of individuals who got sponsorships and how much they make. That will be interesting.
That sounds like a USA Today cover story waiting to happen.
They're gonna line it up big time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever loses their first game
gets the money.
Whoever loses their first game, not only will it cost them money, it's gonna cost them positioning, because Clemson and Georgia, that's an SEC versus ACC game.
ACC. Mm-hmm. Although, Mike, if Georgia were to lose, you could already hear, well, it's a non-SEC game, and I'd much rather see a one-loss SEC team than an undefeated so-and-so team. You know the propaganda that's going to be put out there.
They got their ass covered to some degree. So, you know, obviously, Georgia will play as well as they can, and so will Mr. Swinney's team, who should have resigned by now.
I was going to say, Mike, it's 10:42 Eastern time. Has Dabo resigned yet?
Okay. Where's your bitch ass? That's exactly right. Now, gentlemen, I'm gonna get the final thoughts now, because Frankie, that white noise has been getting on my motherfucking nerves. Excuse my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just up to here with the fucking level of what they're trying to do to further hamper us. So let me go ahead and start on them. Patrick, please throw something in the pot to find us out.
Okay. I was looking at something.
Mm-hmm.
At the Hall of Fame award last week, which was interesting to see the many guys got and who deserved to get it. And I was particularly happy to see a guy named Bill Nunn who got in and was given the kind of respect and recognition for what he's done, particularly what he did to bring in HBEC schools into Pittsburgh, and also what led to around the league. All the players that got drafted in the first round, Buck Buchanan and a list of others who came to HBEC schools, just done a great job back in the late 60s. In 2021, there were no HBCU players drafted.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have we really?
That's what I'm talking about. Truth has set you free. Thank you, brother. Professor, thank you for updating us on all this stuff. But, you know, I fear the worst for that poor brother and his family and everything else. Please give us some wisdom.
Well, as I told on the earlier broadcast, there's no real upside to any of this. As we said over a year ago, when this whole pandemic shutdown came, we said no matter how it happened or who it happened to, at the end of the day, that was two mothers' babies. I feel on that floor forever.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then I was asked the other day, was I going between you and...
Oh, man, you bring it up.
Yes, you think. And since there was a lady on the
Speak
meeting,
up,
I just said, hell no, and let it go at that.
Yeah.
The reason is you got a jerk of a woman who's basically throwing the whole nation on the bus to down there. But then once you're there, they're not looking out for them. And he said the kids are
okay.
Taking away, you know, all sorts of stupidity flying around that venue. So, no, I wouldn't spend a lot of time there. But, you know, back to what we're about here, the HCC, Black College Sports Encyclopedia, HCCU Football History is available. It tracks all the way up to the end of the 2019 school year. We've already published by the time they played in the spring, so they have to wait about 2 or 3 years before we do it again. So go to blackheritagereview.com. And you can buy books. You can buy books on Claflin as well as Livingstone. And there's a story in the Livingstone book about the young lady, Camille Hayes, who ran. And when you support us, we support those schools.
Mm-hmm. www.blackheritagereview.com. Books, information. I appreciate you guys working through all of this. Gary, give us something to think about, please.
The university of the first FBS mandating vaccine and testing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see where this goes because Tulane and the SEC, what conference they're in?
Mm-hmm.
Every conference it is, they come in and see how that conference made out.
Mm-hmm.
This should be an NCAA mandate. All across the board. But Tulane is done. Everywhere. Former Missouri Valley Conference member. Right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go in three weeks.
Thank you, G. And again, thank you for your thoughtfulness in picking up on the CFL. Congratulations to the Edmonton Elks. And we look forward to following them during the season. T-Mac, something to think about, please.
You know, this Field of Dreams thing that they did tonight in Major League Baseball, once you get past all the soppiness or whatever, it was actually done pretty well. I actually like the fact that they had, instead of having the first ball, they had James Earl Jones come out and Tony La Russa in the nuts. So I thought that played off very well. But it just lets you know when Major League Baseball really wants to get something right, they usually get it right. So I give Fannie Lou Manfred some props tonight for having it come off pretty decently.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And
Mike, can I ask you a question real quickly? Tony,
please.
I'm not speaking to the press.
Okay.
Go ahead.
As nice as the broadcast was, and it refreshes our mind about how we love baseball, but how you think it will reflect upon the greater aspect of young people watching the game or being part of the game?
Not much, probably. This was a shout out to the older fans. Clearly,
yeah.
I mean, you saw a lot of instances where you had fathers with their sons and everything.
Mm,
and
that's the key.
Put it. But one would hope that they could see. It sort of speaks to baseball's laziness about how they don't really push their sport, because you could use this as sort of a way to push the sport.
to a younger audience. Because, again, now I'd be willing to bet that of the kids, say, like 20 and over that were at the game tonight, maybe 20-30% have seen Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Probably have no idea what – probably literally don't have a concept of what Field of Dreams, the movie and everything else. And, movie's great. You know, I always – again, it was a little over to the top. A little over
it's
the
okay.
top.
The movie's okay.
For me. Give me Soul of the Game any day, you know, for a top baseball movie. But that's
right.
another story. You know, but no,
that's
it's –
talking about.
But see, again, they've got to, they've got to find different ways, another ways to push the game. Now, they could go out and appeal to the older audience, but see, not to be morbid, but that older audience is dying out.
There you go.
So I'm a part of it too, Fred. I'm a part of it too. So
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, and see, I go back and forth. I love baseball, but baseball doesn't love me back, and it sucks.
That's right.
It's very, very
tough.
They
have to market the kids again. They've been trying to get sky boxes instead of getting people to buy cards and flipping them and shit. You know, it may be piecemeal, but it worked. We were all getting cards. We were all flipping cards. We were all trading cards. We put them in the spokes for our bikes. We asked our parents to take us to bat day and cat day and all that, and it worked. It just wasn't enough money for them. And, Patrick, if I can liken this to anything culturally, it was like WRVR worked as a radio station. But it didn't make enough money. And that's why they got rid of it and tried to change it to a country western format. It wasn't enough for them.
That's what they did.
Which is disgusting. Now, having said that, I want to get this out the way because we're going to obviously shut it down a little early. We've been dealing with white noise from the time Fred came on about 10, 15 minutes in. We know it's deliberate. And we want to know why. You know, when we were talking about this together, firstly, Tony reminded me of a couple of brothers who put together a hockey show. Now, you know, brothers in hockey, well, that's not supposed to happen. I know these black people don't do that. But they were doing a good job, and Blog Talk fucked them up. Now, I didn't want to believe that shit was going on because I've been with them 9 years. And they're lucky because from the research I have done, you can't get these facilities like this anywhere else. And they seem to be taking advantage of that fact. Well, the fact that you had won white noise for over an hour and a fucking half over not about plans for world domination, but a regular fucking sports show where black people are talking about objectively dealing with journalistic issues, and for whatever reason, y'all have a fucking problem with that. You know, you've done this two fucking long, 8 fucking times over 9 fucking years. You've gotten in my shit. Whenever there were people who were interested in talking about being sponsors, you fucked me over. And that was with the music show, too. It wasn't just the sports show. You knew what was coming, and you refused to accept responsibility. So, as far as I'm concerned, I don't owe you any fucking money this month. You better credit me for this shit. Straight up. Because nothing.
Breaking news. Hey, dude, went over by the 19. Chicago White Sox beat the New York Yankees 9-8.
Oh,
yeah, Timmy Anderson.
There you go, Timmy. We like
yeah,
Timmy.
Timmy. Mm-hmm. He hit Rick Kinsella on the top of his head with the ball. So yeah.
Well, give him credit. And the motherfuckers in the Bronx moved. But all you motherfuckers everywhere else, especially here at Blog Talk, there's only one thing I can tell y'all to do.
Sorry about the inconvenience.
Thanks,
sir.
Thank you,
Jim. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It's my
entire.
On behalf of everybody at the thread, I have to deal with this white noise. I'm just going to have me a drink. I'll talk to y'all later. We'll see you Saturday with the stir fry. Good night.